Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Let's keep our eyes fixed on heaven. Now, some people say, you know, these Christians, they're so heavenly minded, they have just become no earthly good. But you know, the truth is, the more heavenly minded a person is, the more earthly good you will become. And history proves it. It's the people who were most focused on heaven that did the best for life here on earth.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Philippians. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21, in a message titled, Citizens of Heaven. Now here's Pastor Brian.
The enemies of the cross set their mind on earthly things. Things of this world, those were the priority. But the saints of old and the Philippians and us today know our citizenship is in heaven. Now, with being citizens, citizenship brings with it three things. It brings privileges, it brings perks, and it brings responsibility. Now, in the context that Paul is writing, of course, Roman citizenship was a highly coveted thing in Paul's day. And most of the people in the empire itself were not citizens. They were subjects of the empire. Very few people were citizens, but the citizens of Rome had tremendous privileges that the other people did not have. Now, Paul, ironically, Paul is actually a Roman citizen, even though he's a Jew, but he was a Jew who was born in the city of Tarsus, one of the great cities of the Roman Empire. And from birth, he had been a Roman citizen. And there's a story in the book of Acts where Paul is arrested for preaching. He's arrested by the Roman garrison, and they're about to lay the whip on him so they can get a confession out of him of why his speech caused such an uproar in Jerusalem. And just before they began to beat him, Paul asked this question. He said, "Is it lawful to beat a Roman citizen who hasn't gone through a trial?" And all of a sudden, the man with the whip stopped and paused and went over to the captain of the guard and said, "Hey, we need to be careful. This guy's a Roman citizen." And so the captain of the guard, he goes to Paul privately and he says, "Are you really a citizen?" And Paul says, "Yes, I really am a Roman citizen." So you see, he had certain privileges as a Roman citizen. He couldn't just be taken and manhandled. He couldn't be taken and thrown into a jail cell. He couldn't be taken and beaten. He had the privilege of having the right to a trial. And he was, in a sense, innocent until proven guilty. So he says to the captain, "Yes, I am a citizen." And the captain says this. He says, "With a great sum of money, I purchased my citizenship." And Paul responds and he says, "I was born a citizen." And so I'm telling the story just to illustrate that the captain says, "I purchased the citizenship. It was so valuable. It was highly prized and it was costly." Paul says, "I was born a citizen." So as a citizen, there are privileges. Of course, I am a citizen of the United States of America, and many of you are as well. Some of you are citizens of other countries. And you know, with our citizenship, there are certain privileges that come with being a citizen. Well, likewise, with our heavenly citizenship, there are certain privileges as well. And I want to just talk for a moment about the privileges that we have. Think about it. As citizens of heaven, first of all, we are the subjects of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So our ruler, our leader, our king is the great king. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. So, you know, nations have rulers. There are still monarchies today in our world. There are presidencies. There are premierships. There are, you know, different political systems and different people in power. And some are good and some are not so good and some are really bad. But the citizens of heaven, we have as our King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the amazing thing is we have immediate and continual access to our King. Think about that. Now, let me clarify, of course, our King is the righteous King. Our King is, he's a loving King. He's a benevolent King. He is the King whose interest goes beyond himself. His interest is primarily in his subjects and the well-being of his subjects. And we know that because this King stepped down from his throne and came to earth and did the unthinkable. He gave his life for his subjects. So this is our King, and we have immediate and continual access to our King. What a privilege. So as I mentioned, being a citizen of the United States, I certainly have some privileges that are wonderful privileges, but I don't have the access to people in power. I can't go to Washington, D.C. and, you know, walk up to the White House and knock on the door and be welcomed in to share my concern or complaint. I can't go. I live in California. I can't go to the seat of our government in Sacramento here and again go to the state house there and have immediate access. I've got privileges as a citizen, but not like that. But in our heavenly citizenship, we have access, continual access, 24/7, anytime we can come and bring our concerns before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we are guaranteed his protection and provision at all times. Isn't that amazing? We are guaranteed his protection and provision at all times. And God is committed himself to us. He is watching over us, and he has all power and wisdom by which he guides the course of our lives to lead us safely home at the appointed time. And so even if things befall us that seem to be something that is inconsistent with his provision or his protection, we can have the assurance that no, this is all part of the plan as well. And God is going to show himself in an even greater way through these things. And so we have these privileges. But you know, we also have perks. And you know, perks are different than privileges. Perks are just these little things that just are in some ways are incidental, but they make the privileges even better. Because we just get these little side benefits that come along. And this is amazing. As a citizen of heaven, as one who is a subject of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, one of the perks is that he favors us with his presence. So God comes alongside of us in a very real way, and we sense that he's present with us. That's a perk. That's something that's beyond just a privilege. That sense of God's presence with us. He speaks encouraging words into our hearts. God speaks to us. He talks to us. He gives us counsel. As we open the Bible and as we read it, we find that these words are actually speaking to me. Or sometimes we don't even have our Bible open. Sometimes it's just God brings to us a word, and that word is an encouraging word. You see, again, this is part of the perks. He draws near, imparting his love, his joy, his peace into our lives. See, these are all real experiences. And those who are the citizens of the kingdom, you know this. I know this. We might sometimes try to express this to somebody and they're thinking, wait, what are you talking about? God draws near you. What do you mean? You hear him. You feel his presence. What is that about? Well, it's a real thing for those who are there in that place of citizenship. But you know, not only that, he works out 1,000 little details in our daily sojourn. And this to me is one of the most amazing perks, to just be able to go through life daily and to be able and to look and see, in a sense, you just see that God's fingerprints are all over so many things. You know, just yesterday, I had this, it's kind of a combination of both the encouraging word and just the, you know, 1,000 times a day, these little indicators that God is with you. But that's one of the perks of being a citizen of the King. It's one of the perks of having a relationship with the Lord. He speaks words of encouragement to us that take the pressure and the burden and the fear and the anxiety off of us and bring things back into perspective. And so there are privileges, perks. And then, of course, with citizenship, there is also responsibilities. And so as citizens of heaven, we have certain responsibilities as well. And my responsibility is to live in a way that honors our King and his kingdom, to live according to his laws that he has spelled out in the pages of Scripture, to live according to the values of the kingdom, you know, the values of the kingdom are those things that are the priorities for God and his kingdom, to live according to the culture of the kingdom. You know, every community, every society, people groups, you know, culture is the atmosphere that develops from the way people live. And so, or from the traditions or the laws or whatever, you know, the culture develops out of that. So when we think about living according to the laws of the kingdom and the values of the kingdom, you know, the priority there is love. The great law that trumps everything in the kingdom of God is the law of love. And so my responsibility then is to live in that way and to love the Lord my God with all my heart, to love my neighbor as myself. And we have to ask this question, what's the thing God would have us to do? And we know about the laws, we know about the values, we know about the culture of the kingdom, and we know that undergirding all of that is love. And it's here that we are representatives of this kingdom of which we are citizens. And then finally, in our responsibilities, there's also objectives. So there are the kingdom objectives. And the great objective is to advance the kingdom by seeing more people enter into this relationship with the Lord, seeing more people get their kingdom citizenship. So that's part of my responsibility, is to help that happen. And I help that by living out the laws and the values and the culture of the kingdom. So those are the privileges, the perks, and the responsibilities. Now, Paul says this, and this is our final point as we come toward the end of our teaching here today. He says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." Let me read that in the New Living Translation. It says, "But we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control." So here's the great news. How is this kingdom that we are now a part of, this citizenship that we now possess, how is this going to manifest itself ultimately? It's going to manifest itself ultimately by the very King himself coming back. And so Paul says that we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, here is the good news, and this is the great news for planet Earth. Christ is coming again, and through his power, he's going to bring everything under his control. And isn't that great news? And listen, let's not forget that this is the ultimate goal of the coming of Christ into the world. Sometimes I talk to Christians today, and I mean, you almost have like two extremes. You have those that are constantly thinking Jesus is going to come back any second, and they're obsessed with that to the point of they can't really do anything else because they're just thinking about that, and they're talking about that, and they're theorizing about it and speculating and all of that. That's a problem. But then there's another problem. And I hear some Christians say, well, you know, it could be another 1,000 years before the Lord comes back. You know, I think we need to remember that the first coming was preparation for the second coming. And we've been waiting 2,000 years for the Lord to return. I mean, the apostles, when they wrote, they were expecting the Lord to come. They were thinking that it was going to be even in their lifetimes. So I don't know when the Lord's going to come back. Nobody does. But Paul here speaks of those who were eagerly awaiting his appearance. And that's the posture that we need to have. We need to be eagerly awaiting. And we need to keep in mind that this is what everything is ultimately about. As glorious as his first coming was, it was foundational. It was to lay the foundation for him to come again and set up the kingdom. And we don't know exactly when Jesus is going to return, but what we can say is that the Bible does give us a picture of the world that Christ will return to, and the stage is being set. The world is being arranged in that kind of a way where I think we can safely say, even though we can't say specifically when the Lord's going to come, we can safely say that things are lining up for that event to happen. So all that to say, let's not forget that what we call the second coming of Jesus is the objective. It's the purpose for which he came. And thank God he's going to come and he's going to fix this tired, broken planet. And he's going to bring peace out of the chaos and the confusion. You know, C.S. Lewis said, human history is a long, terrible story of man trying to find something other than God that will make him happy. And boy, we can say amen to that. Human history is the long, terrible story. It's a long, terrible story. And the story isn't getting any better under human leadership. We need the Lord to come back and to set up his kingdom. And Paul says he is going to do that very thing. And he's going to transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. So when the Lord comes back, he is going to take our weak, frail, sick, and dying bodies, and he's going to instantaneously make them into a glorious body like his. See, when Jesus comes back, some people are going to be living on the earth. Believers are going to be living on the earth. And we're going to be instantly transformed into the image of Christ fully and completely. And of course, those who have gone before us, those who have died, as we say, their bodies are going to be raised up and be made like his glorious body. And this is the promise that we have as the citizens of heaven. Heaven is coming to earth, and it's coming to earth in the return of Jesus Christ. And then everything will be set right. Paul's whole emphasis here is let's keep our eyes fixed on heaven. Now, some people say, you know, these Christians, they're so heavenly minded, they have just become no earthly good. But you know, the truth is, the more heavenly minded a person is in the truest sense, the more earthly good you will become. And history proves it. It's the people who were most focused on heaven that did the best for life here on earth. Think of the great missionaries, the great educators and doctors and, you know, the people that went out and brought the gospel and brought health and hope and deliverance and life to cultures of death. And they did it not because they were focused on the things of the earth. Had they been focused on the things of the earth, they never would have left their comfort zone to go to these seemingly God-forsaken places. But that's exactly what they did. And so we are eagerly waiting for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies and make them like his glorious body. And that's what Jesus did. He conquered death. And so he's going to take by his power it says here, by the power that he has to subject everything to himself, it's that power that he's going to bring to bear even upon our bodies, and so that they are transformed and made like his glorious body. Now, if you've got your heavenly passport, so to speak, you say, yeah, I'm a citizen of heaven. I came and Christ received me, and I am a child of God, and I've been a child of God. I want to say to you, rejoice in your privileges and enjoy your perks, but don't forget your responsibilities. And now's the time to live responsibly as citizens of the kingdom. Now, if perhaps you're not yet a citizen of the heavenly kingdom, here's the amazing thing. You have an invitation. God is offering you to become a citizen. You know, I've met a number of people over the years who have lived in other countries, sometimes even in third world types of situations, very desperate, very difficult. They've wanted to get out of their country because of the hardship. They've maybe known somebody in the United States, or in some way they had in their mind, if I could just get to the United States, but it's never going to happen. And I've talked to at least a half a dozen people who actually won a lottery in their country to come and to obtain U.S. citizenship. And every single one of them that I've talked to about that, they have told me that that was the greatest opportunity that had ever come to their lives, and how thankful they were that that opportunity was given to them, and that they now were, in this case, American citizens. And listen, as wonderful as that would be to be a citizen of a great nation, whatever nation it might be, to be a citizen of the kingdom of Christ is incomparable. There's nothing like it, because it's a righteous kingdom, because it is a kingdom of love and joy and peace, and because it is an everlasting kingdom. And here's what the gospel is. The gospel is God's invitation to you to have citizenship in his kingdom. And so through Jesus Christ, you can become a citizen of the kingdom of God by simply reaching out to Jesus today, by saying to him, Lord, I want that citizenship. And in doing so, acknowledging that you have sinned, that you have rebelled even against his kingdom, but you want to lay down your arms and you want to have peace and you want to accept that free gift of citizenship that he's giving you. And you know, if that's you today, then I want to encourage you to simply reach out in faith with a prayer like this. Just say, Lord Jesus, I recognize you're the King of Kings. I also admit that I'm a sinner. I thank you that you came to pay a debt for me that I could not pay. And I receive that forgiveness, and I receive that offer of citizenship. And I joyfully enter into your kingdom, your heavenly kingdom, and I thank you. So if you've said something like that in your heart, if you want to take some time and maybe get by yourself and just get on your knees and just talk to God, but know this, as you open your heart to Christ, as you ask him to be your Lord and Savior, he will come in and he will give you the gift of eternal life. And you can have the guarantee that life does not end here with the breaking down and dissolving of the body, but it goes on into eternity with a new glorified body, like the one that Jesus himself has.
For the month of August, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled Let Justice Roll Down by John Perkins. Have you or someone you know been affected by the current racial unrest? If you want a biblical perspective on the question of race, you need to get this book. Let Justice Roll Down is the autobiography of John Perkins, an African-American whose faith in Jesus brought him through the civil rights movement and ultimately to racial reconciliation through the grace of God. Get this book today. The book Let Justice Roll Down by John Perkins is our gift to say thank you for your donation to Back to Basics. so we encourage you to call us right now at 0208-466-5365 or visit us online at brianbroderson.uk. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Philippians. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.